Hello, Fellowship at Grace. We have an easy task on our hands on this 23rd podcast that centers around the Heidelberg Catechism. Well, today we're going to look at the Trinity and trying to understand the Trinity by looking at question and answer 25. Question and answer 25 being our guide, which asks, since there is only one divine being, why do you speak of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? That's a good question. Why do we say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit when we also say we are a theistic religion? We only believe in one God. How can you say both things and it not be a contradiction? Is basically the point of the question. Well, what does the Catechism say? Answer, because that is how God has revealed himself in his word. These three distinct persons are one true eternal God. And it gives about 10 or so scripture references. So simple enough, the reason we talk about God as being one in three distinct persons is because the Bible talks this way about him. That's how he has revealed himself to us. You know, we did not come up with this on our own. God has revealed himself this way through his word, and we all want a better understanding of who God is and what he does. So to kind of set the tone and the importance of this doctrine of the Trinity, I hear this good quote I found by Christian professor Fred Sanders. He says this, pondering the eternal, essential Trinity is the most concrete and biblical way of acknowledging the distinction between who God is and what he does. God is eternally Trinity because triunity belongs to his very nature. Things like creation and redemption are things God does. And he would still be God if he had not done them. But Trinity is who God is. And without being the Trinity, he would not be God. God minus creation would still be God. But God minus Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would not be God. So when we praise God for being our Creator and Redeemer, we are praising him for what he does. But behind what God does is the greater glory of who he is. Behind his act is his being, end quote. I think that is a good thing to understand before we get going too far in this God is Trinity, because that's who he is. And we don't talk that much about that, but we love to, you know, talk about what God does, creation, redemption, but who God is Trinity. He is three in one. And that's not always on our lips. So, as you remember, we're in the Heidelberg Catechism, and within this catechism, we're in the Apostles' Creed. And the Creed being divided into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in its three divisions tells us a concise summary of our faith. But now we're answering question 25, and we're entering into one of the deepest mysteries of the Christian faith. But what's hard for our finite minds to understand about the mystery of the Trinity does not show a lack in God, but it shows a lack in us. And so that word mystery does not mean we can't understand what the Trinity is. But nonetheless, when most Christians come to the doctrine of the Trinity, they're poor in their understanding and even worse in their explanation of it. And a misunderstanding of the Trinity is usually at the heart of different religions and different cults. So today, hopefully, we can maybe clear up some misunderstandings you might have. Pastor Kevin DeYoung has these seven helpful statements that can start us out here. He says the doctrine of the Trinity can be summarized into seven statements. And since he used the number seven, so you know he's right. But number one, there is only one God. Christianity is monotheistic. We have one God, not three. So that's statement number one. Statement number two, the Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. I'll say those seven again. There is only one God. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. All right, so let's break that down a little bit. The two key words to help with this, with when you're trying to understand a Trinity, two key words stand out that can help you understand it, and that's essence and persons. The Trinity is three persons within one essence. The unity of the Trinity is that the Godhead is in one essence. All three personhoods of the Trinity have one nature, and that one nature is their essence. God is only one in nature, but three in a different sense, in personhood. So all three persons of the Trinity share in the same Godness, the same essence. The Father is no more or no less God than the Holy Spirit. And same would go for the Holy Spirit. They are the exact same in essence because God is one. Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." So again, we are a monotheistic faith, and the Bible is clear on that, which we'll look at more next week on when we look more at different Bible verses. But just that one verse alone, that God is one. Nothing else in existence is equal to Him. He is in need of nothing. He's completely independent. We have no worry of another God trying to fight our God, or another God trying to snatch us out of our God's hand. Our God can meet all of our needs because He relies on no one else to meet our needs. Our God is one. And so everything the Trinity does is in unity. Think about salvation. The Trinity is in one accord when it comes to saving. The Father chooses. And those same that He chooses, the Son redeems. And those same that the Son redeems, the Spirit regenerates. And then the Spirit sanctifies. So it's all one coherent unit. And all the personhoods of the Trinity are working on the same goal. We have one God, not three. And so that's really important to understand, that it's three in one. So what about the three person side of the Trinity? So that was the essence side. So what about this three side? The Trinity has three personhoods. Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Three distinct personhoods, but the same essence. The Father is not the Son is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Father. And so when you think of this, the idea of persons, think of each person being individually distinct from the other. So three personhoods found in one essence. Another way theologians have tried to explain this has been the two words, what and who. We're talking about one being in three persons. So when we talk about the what, God is one what in three who's. God is one what in three who's. The what is the being and the essence, and the who's are the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Trinity, one what in three who's, which means one essence in three persons. So Christianity does not teach that there are three separate beings or three beings that exist as one or three persons who are one person. Sometimes the Trinity is best understood by what we do not believe. And that's how the councils, that's how they formulated what the Trinity was. You know, years later, 300-400 AD is when they got together and said, here's what we do not believe, therefore here's what we do believe. And so we reject what is called modalism, which believes in only one person acting in three different modes. So sometimes God acts as Father, sometimes God acts as Son, sometimes God acts as the Holy Spirit. But He's never three all at one time, and He can only be in one mode at one distinct time. We reject that. We reject Arianism, which believes that Christ was not fully God. So there you have a Trinity that's not fully three. It's missing Christ as a distinct person. And we reject tritheism, which believes that the Trinity is three distinct gods that are apart from one another that could have three different goals in mind, three different essences, three different whats. But that's not the case. We have one what and three whos. Sometimes we are declared to be contradicting ourselves. That you know the Muslims, they think that Christianity is a contradiction, and especially at the point of the Trinity. That how can you say you have three persons, one God, three persons? It just doesn't make any sense. It's too complicated. But that's simply not the case. I don't remember who said it, but they said that three persons in one essence is no more a contradiction than are three corners in one triangle. This is a mystery, but it's not a contradiction. A true contradiction would be if God were three persons and one person at the same time. Or to go on with that quote would be three gods and one God at the same time. No, that is a contradiction. But God being three persons in one essence is not a contradiction. The study of the Trinity, of course, is a big task to take up, but one that God knew we could understand, and not understand fully or exhaustively, but He knew we would understand it nonetheless. And so your mind gets stretched, as Spurgeon told us last week, and when you think of the Trinity and try to come up with better explanations for it, but at the end of the day, you're left with, I'm a finite human creature trying to understand an infinite creator. And so right out of the gate, we should understand that. Now, we're not going to understand this God fully or exhaustively. And so we're in this flesh. We're fallen. We see things dimly. And so you have to think from time to time, what do you expect? Do you really expect to understand God 100% through and through in our current state? And not only us in our state, but He in His. So we always think about it, you know, we're sinners and this and that, but God is completely holy, completely righteous and perfect and other than us. And so when you come to the Trinity, yes, it's a mystery. Yes, we can understand it, not fully because we're finite. He's infinite. And this is what we believe. And so next week, we're going to review a little bit more of the unity and the plurality of the Trinity and look at a lot more Bible verses than just the one we did tonight. And then we'll look at why understanding the Trinity is important, the practical outworkings of understanding this. So until then, I hope you have a good rest of your week.